Welcome to the podcast, everyone, and it is Holy War Week, and I'm thrilled to be joined by someone who knows the Holy War as well as anybody, former Utah coach Ron McBride. Coach, thanks very much for joining me.
Okay, no problem.
I was wondering, first of all, you know, if you could just talk about what you think makes the Holy War so special. And I know the schools don't like to use that term, Holy War, but, you know, to a lot of fans, that's what it is. That's how they identify with it. What do you think makes that rivalry so unique?
Well, the state had been divided between red and blue when I came here the first time as an assistant coach. And I forget what year it was, but I came up here with Wayne Howard from Long Beach State the first time. And at that time, BYU pretty much dominated the Utah-BYU series. I think there was, I think at one time it was 19 out of 21. And, you know, so it was pretty much a blue state. But usually when the game was played, the whole state would come to a standstill, but usually the last season, regardless of what, you know. And but BYU pretty much had was controlled the state, controlled the league, you know. Was kind of like the USC of the Mountain West at that time, or the Big West, or whatever you want to call it. So they were. They were, basically a powerhouse, and their fans were very cocky. They were very, very, very cocky group of people, but they had a great football team and had a great head coach. And, you know, they had everything going their way and unable to survive in the state of Utah as a coach. You had to beat BYU. I mean, that was pretty much, you know, pretty much the standard. And if you didn't, you probably weren't going to last long at the University of Utah.
And how did you guys manage to, you know, flip the switch, so to speak, and get Utah to the point where it was more competitive?
Yeah. So what happened is when I took the job and in the interview, I remember they said, well, as long as you don't get embarrassed by BYU, it didn't say we had to beat them, just so I get embarrassed by them, then you could probably have this job for a long time.
Low bar.
Low bar. But I knew from being at Utah as an assistant coach that, you know, I had a plan. And I knew what had to be done to get to the top of the league, and I knew what had to be done to turn the BYU Utah thing around. And so I had a plan that was a long range plan, and I figured, being the third year of my, that we would be competitive, and we'd be in a situation where we could beat BYU.
And you, over the years, you became pretty friendly with Lavelle Edwards, right?
Oh, a very good friend. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He and I did a lot of things together. You know, just a real class individual, great man. I miss him dearly. You know, we did the last 6 years, we've done a radio show together on Fridays, and you know, we do a lot of things together as a, you know, different things for different organizations.
So what did you have, what was your plan, especially as it related to making Utah more competitive with BYU, not necessarily the rest of the conference, but how did you see Utah closing that gap with BYU?
Well, we needed to have a missionary program, which Utah really didn't have one as such, you know. So we started a missionary program. We needed to recruit the Polynesian culture, which we did, and then we needed to get our skilled players out of certain areas, and then we needed to make an impact in the islands, in Hawaii, in American Samoa, and also in the state of Utah. So, you know, BYU became a little more worldly in their recruiting, and maybe a little more complacent in that we were able to start stealing players from them, and recruiting, and able to establish a base of how we were gonna do things, and just took it step by step, and so finally each step we took we gained some momentum, and I think I forget what first bowl game we'd been to in like 20, maybe 30 years was in Tucson, I believe, the first one. And that was kind of a major breakthrough. And then the first time we beat them at their school in 21 years, which was a defining moment because and I think that was in, might have been 93, but I'm not sure. And that was a defining moment because we kicked a 55-yard field goal to win the game.
Right.
And then that became, and then, you know, from that point on, the game was on, you know what I mean? So no matter where it played, I mean, it was, you know, they were not better than we were. And we had a better than even shot going into every game.
Do you think Utah fans hate BYU more than BYU fans hate Utah? Or is it the other way around? Or is it the hate equal on both sides?
I don't know whether it's a hate or a respect. You know, I mean, it was like, I know when we started, I think we won three straight, you know, and I think there was the famous 34-31 games where we beat them by the same score, I think, two or three years in a row. And that, I mean, they couldn't accept that. I mean, that was like just unbelievable to BYU fans that we could beat them like 3 years in a row. And it was like unacceptable, you know. So that was when things kind of, you know, things kind of changed. In order to beat a good program, you have to respect the program, and I respected their program for what they did and what they've accomplished. But that's something that we had to get done. You know, I mean, that was just to survive in the state of Utah. You're going to have to win that game.
Yeah, boy, based on what I see on my Twitter feed, I would say hate, at least among the fans, hate's probably the right word. But, you know, that's also part of what makes a great rivalry. Do you think that is it the geography, the proximity of the schools, or is it the religion that you think is kind of the fuel for the rivalry, or is it something else?
Well, it's partly religious. And it's partly just what you were brought up under, as your families were either Utah people or they were BYU people, you know. And so there was no line there as to where you were kind of mixed, you know. You were either a BYU fan or you were a Utah fan, and your families were kind of, that's the way the kind of families. I always put the point of the mountain as the Mason-Dixon line. You know, once you cross the point of the mountain going south from Utah, it's what's called BYU country. And once you pass the Mason-Dixon line coming north up in Salt Lake, well, that's the Utah line. So, but I don't know if there's a hatred. You know, I think that's probably a little bit too strong a word. You know, it might be a respect. You know, right now Utah's been in control for the last 8 years, I think, and being that the leagues, you know, BYU is now independent and Utah is in the Pac-12. Now Utah holds the big sword, you know, and there's a lot of jealousy because of where Utah is in the league and the fact that they've won the last 7 years and that BYU is not affiliated in the league. So now the Utah-BYU game has less significance than it did when both teams were in the same league.
Do you have a favorite story or incident from your time coaching Utah that you feel like kind of represents what that rivalry is all about? Maybe a story that you've told to friends or told it at gatherings that maybe some fans outside of Salt Lake City haven't heard that kind of typifies the rivalry?
Well, I think the biggest thing was the game that we won down there when Jurgensen kicked the 55-yard field goal was like almost unbearable to BYU to beat them at their stadium in front of their fans. That was like, as I put it, like when the world stood still, you know. it was, and I remember the fact that, you know, people would always, you know, you go into their stadium and people would pat you on the backs, oh, you're doing better, you know, and your team's getting better. And then to beat them there on that, and that's their blanket days also that day. And we had people hanging on their goalposts down there, and I remember that I had parked my car. My daughter came up to pick me up after the game, and the guy was really the guard was really nice when. He'd be saying, yeah, after the game, just come up, park the car, and pick up your dad. Well, the guy, when she drove up to pick me up, the guy said, I'm going to have your car towed. My daughter says, well, they weren't quite as nice as when I came in the first time. But that was a special day because that was the beginning of you know, a parity between the two teams, and that's kind of when I said, when you could say game on, because now you didn't know who was going to win the game, because when you went into the game, both teams were good, and you made a play here or there, and the games were usually settled in the fourth quarter sometime.
And Urban Meyer and of course for 2 years and then for the last what's it been 13 or so, Kyle Whittingham have pretty much continued Utah's overall excellence and mostly domination of BYU. What do you think Whittingham has done so well in his time with the Utes?
Well, he understood Whittingham played at BYU. And he understands the rivalry and understands the importance of the game, and the players understand the importance of the game. And I think that's the big thing. As long as the players recognize the importance of the game, then they're going to make sure that they can come out and play. And even though they're not in the league, the Utah people completely understand that they have to. That's a game they have to win and play again.
And how many will have you seen to this point? Can you even count? I mean, it's got to be 20, at what, 30-something games you've seen?
Yeah, probably. Let's see. As an assistant, 6, and as a head coach, 13. That's like almost 20. And then the last, since I retired from Weber State, it's been another seven, so probably 27 years, 30.
Boy, that's something. And is your experience, because I know you've coached a lot of places, and certainly Arizona State is a very heated rivalry.
Well, that's a hated rivalry. You can say use the word hate there. That's because when I was there, there was no you know, nicety about it at all. I mean, the people at that time, you know, at that time Arizona was kind of dominating the rivalry. And I tell you what, we played a game at Arizona State. Arizona State was rolling pretty good, and we were ahead in the fourth quarter, and it looked like the game was. And I tell you what, the stadium cleared out. Every Arizona State person left. And the only people left in the stadium were people from Tucson. It was a full stadium when we started. It was an empty stadium at the end. And we virtually just emptied the stadium because they couldn't stand it, you know. And it was, it was a very bitter rivalry, you know, and that one you could actually put the word hatred in front of it because there was no love lost between the two schools.
Okay, well, maybe we'll call Utah BYU deeply passionate.
Because I'll tell you what, Wayne Howard used the word hate against BYU after they beat us down there. I forget what year it was. It might have been my first or second year there with him, and he used the word hate. And I'm telling you what, every time I would go recruiting in the state of Utah as an assistant coach, he said, yeah, you work for the school where your coach said he hates BYU. I said, so if they were BYU fans or BYU or former BYU players that were the head coaches at schools, you might as well forget about recruiting the school.
Oh, that makes sense. I could see how that would a comment like that would resonate through households throughout the state. But boy, I'll tell you what, from what I've seen, just the fans, Utah fans, how they feel about BYU, there is it's as emotional certainly as any of the other rivalries I've seen. It's probably, you know, certainly one of the two or three best rivalries in the West for sure.
Well, absolutely, and it's like, because the Utah people all remember those years that they were being dominated by BYU. And they all remember what that was like in humility and, you know, and how, you know, kind of cocky and kind of, you know, just pious, you know, and it was a hard thing to take because, you know, whoever won that game, they could walk around the state and be pretty, you know, be pretty, you know, pretty cocky, you know. When the shoe came on the other foot, you know, it wasn't too well accepted, and then the Utah people became more cocky and more, you know, well, you know, we don't need to worry about you guys anymore. So,
so you get the sense that BYU fans right now are not real thrilled about the situation.
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, I was up there, up at the BYU Stadium the last time Utah played there, and I did a pregame up there, and then afterwards to watch the people walk out of the stadium when Utah had beat them. I mean, it was like you just took their home away from them or something.
I could see how that would be the sense. Well, I certainly appreciate you joining me. Been a terrific history lesson for me and for a lot of fans around the Pac-12 who aren't real familiar with the history of the rivalry. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me, Coach.
No problem. Okay.
All the best. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.